Oh, with the phone?
Yeah. Alright, I'm going now.
The Majority Report with Sam Cedar. It's time to look in the mirror, America. Do you like what you see?
I keep referring to Obama as the magic Negro.
Do you like what you see now?
Well, suck on this.
It's just a mirror, America.
Shared sacrifice by everybody.
What could it do to you except reflect your image?
I did nothing wrong at the Minneapolis airport.
The Majority Report.
Far more credible to me than PBS.
And Frontline.
The Majority Report with Sam Cedar.
Ever get the feeling you've been cheated?
It is Tuesday, September 27th, 2011. My name is Sam Cedar. This is the Majority Report. We are broadcasting live from Zuccardi Park, now known as Liberty Square. Day 10 of the Occupy Wall Street protest. There are hundreds of people in Liberty Square as I speak. Susan Sarandon apparently is in the park. She is giving interviews. Still tons of cops and lots of people. Despite the fact that we are in day 10 of this protest, people seem in very good spirit. No rain today. And my hope is to sit down and talk to some people who have been here for one day, 10 days, who intend to stay for another day, another 10 days, I don't know, months. And we'll get to that now. So bear with us, folks, if the sound is fair, if you hear bands in the background or the occasional mic check that they use here to essentially communicate to each other. All right. And we're starting early today, obviously, and because we wanted to beat the rain, didn't want to deal with what we had to deal with last Friday. And so with me first, we've grabbed one of the protesters here to get his story. If you could pick up your mic, we'll be able to hear you better. And what's your name?
Michael Riley.
Michael Riley. And so, Michael, how long have you been down here in Liberty Square?
I first joined the movement on last Monday, so it's been a week. Haven't been here around the clock the entire time. I've had to come and go a little bit. I've spent a few nights down here, but basically it's been a full week.
And you're from New York City?
I am from New York. I live in Elmhurst, Queens.
And so why are you here?
Well, initially I came by, I was aware of the gathering and hadn't really followed it too much over the course of the first couple of days, but I was commuting back to my apartment in Queens and I noticed that the subway stopped at Wall Street, and I was out of impulse. I said, I got to run out and go check on Occupy Wall Street. And within minutes, basically just was wowed by the people and speaking to everybody. And I'm again familiar with the cause a little bit. And just won me over, and I said, "This is what I'm here to do. I'm part of this now."
So, what were you doing? I mean, have you left work? Were you working?
I'm semi-employed.
Uh-huh.
There are times when I do work. In the last week or so, I've been, in a way, fortunate to not have any work, which is unfortunate in terms of my bank account.
Right.
But I was able to lend support and work with some of the groups. And that sort of thing. So it's been going. It's worked out actually.
And so tell me about your work situation. I mean, at the root of what's going on mm-hmm. here is maybe the. Well, I don't know if it's necessarily the financial crisis, but certainly what's been going on for the past 30 years in terms of the financialization of everything and the slow destruction of middle class jobs, middle income jobs, of essentially the economic stability for most Americans. So tell me your situation.
Okay, well, I work in the music industry. I have for over 20 years in a support context. What I do is I deliver and set up equipment, kind of like a tech. Sometimes I say urban roadie for recording artists. And the music industry has dropped off significantly due to a lot of factors, the economy being one of them. I'm sure people are having a tough time scraping up the $12, whatever it is, to go buy a CD and that sort of thing. At the same time, I have been looking for other work to supplement my life, knowing that the music industry has been sort of waning here in New York, again, due to many factors. The economy, of right. course, is one of them. And have not had any luck finding a stable, permanent job that I can really support myself off of.
Okay, and so now in the background you can hear the mic check.
The people's mic, we call it.
The people's mic. And tell us, just explain to us, why do they use this?
Well, we're not allowed to have amplified sound here. There's no permit. We don't have a permit to have any sort of bullhorns or amplifier or PA system at all. So we found that's an effective way. It's been used in other movements in the past to communicate someone's message. You can, you know, the person who has the message speaks, and then the people around him or her repeat it in unison, multiple voices coming out, so it spreads the sound out effectively.
And is there, do you need permission to call mic check?
No, mic check, if you have any issue, bring it up. This is a very egalitarian, open community, which is also one of the beautiful things that drew me to it immediately.
And so tell me, some of the things you've seen over the past 10 days. You've been here for a couple of nights.
Yes, I've been in
and out during the week.
I've been trying to spend as many nights here as possible, actually, and going home for shower and refreshing and that sort of thing on occasion. At one point, I was here for 3 consecutive days. And I've seen what I've seen was just a beautiful group of people who have come together for the Occupy Wall Street movement. And at the same time, I see this amazing just group that's developed these committees to handle the problems and the obstacles that we've come with. There's a food group. There's an outreach group that's sending the word out to people. I'm on board with the community relations team. We're actually going to be working with the local businesses and residents in this area because we're here. And we're going to be leading walking tours, for instance, of the vicinity of the park where we are and the vicinity to show people, either whether they're in the group or if they're just people, tourists, or people who live in the community and they want to know what we're about, and we want to share with them some of the local businesses, some of the art, history, architecture, that sort of thing. We want to be welcome here. We want to work with them, not against them, the locals, that is, especially.
So, you know, one of the things that people have been wondering, like, are there any demands? Are you developing any demands? And if so, what are they?
Well, I'm not really in that group of people. There are some people who, from what I understand, last night began setting up a framework for that type of, whether it's demands or a statement or that sort of thing. There is no leader here. Even amongst the groups of individual teams that are doing, like the media team right here behind us, they've been working around the clock, getting the message out, communicating with people around the world. So as far as I know, no, there are no specific demands. And if there were, I'm not going to be a part of that necessarily. I mean, I support their cause. I can see what the damage that the banks and the economic system has done to the middle class and working class of this country. And I guarantee you I'm going to be on board with whatever they do. I think there are better people than me to formulate those demands or statement, et cetera.
You know, that's, I think, one of the fascinating aspects of what's happening down here, because in the context of the way our media system works and our political system works, there is a delegitimization that's taking place of what's happening down here because there isn't a specific demand. You're not calling for a specific policy change. And so how do you reconcile that? I mean, what is it that you feel you're accomplishing by being here?
Well, that's a good thing you say that. In the Sunday New York Times, there was a couple of articles, and one of them said that something about the effect of the gathering is here, but their target is unclear. And I thought that was interesting that the New York Times wrote that because, in my opinion, they're one of the targets. And so clearly, if they're reporting on it, we reached them to a degree. Whether it was a favorable or negative article is yet to be determined. It could go either way. But we are reaching out to people. People are asking, and they're sharing information and ideas. We're hearing people talk about their work situation, people who stumble across the park, not necessarily a protesting type of person, you know, just a blue-collar, everyday American, and they come down and sympathize with us. They hear about it. They read literature. There's a library over there with 100 or 200 books related to this cause and other causes of economic struggles, protest movements, et cetera. So it's a big education, open forum. It's very organic. And that's what initially caught me. When I was here, I was watching it, watching the groups communicate, seeing how they were distributing food, seeing how the media team was working, how they were keeping the park clean. I mean, this park is It's cleaner than
it is. One of the cleanest parks I've been in New York City.
It's cleaner than it is on a regular weekday. I ride my bicycle all over Manhattan, all over New York, all the time. I come down here a lot. I'm in love with that sculpture right there behind us, the Joie de Vivre by Mark DeSouvreau. And I think it's just a brilliant sculpture. It just fits. It goes against kind of this steel and glass and concrete city to agree, even though it is iron beams or whatever. But so seeing this park with all these people in here and this clean, and there's teams of people going around coordinating recycling and getting the trash out and making sure that it's beautiful, all these things have just inspired me. And like I said, it's just an organic, ongoing thing. Ideas are coming in. They're being tossed around, developed, shared, et cetera.
And so how long do you anticipate being here? I mean, not just for yourself, but for this group of you know, there's several hundred people who are here today on a Tuesday.
On a Tuesday. I would like to address that real quickly. I was kind of hoping against hope that the crowd wouldn't drop off on Monday, because last Monday when I showed up, it was only a couple hundred people.
Right.
But after this weekend, when there was thousands down here, as of yesterday, I still estimated to be 500 to 800 throughout the day. So that's good. The movement is growing. In other words, this Monday...
That's 500 to 800 on a Monday.
On a Monday, which is 600 more than we were here last Monday, which is only the third day. So that's a good sign. As far as the goals and the accomplishments, I can stay here. I live in New York. I promise people that I don't care if we're here in a blizzard in February. I can come here. Those are the nights that I'm going to be here. I'm going to put my winter gear on, put my Canadian hiking boots on, my parkas, bring clothing down for other people, whatever it takes. Results, like I said, are yet to be determined.
Right.
And I'm hoping people do start to push that forward, and I will support it. And I'm not leaving.
Great. Well, Michael, I really appreciate your talking to us and everything you're doing down here. And thanks for taking the time.
Thank you. My pleasure.
All right, folks. And Matt, why don't you see if you can wrestle up someone else who wants to talk. And we will – you got to do that now, buddy. All right, stop recording. All right, so, folks, this is one of those situations where – you know, we're doing this on the fly. We're going to try and get some people in here who are willing to talk to us. And we will have more as we continue. You know, one of the things that I'm going to play, this is a sound. Go find somebody, Matt. Go find somebody. One of the sort of more fascinating stories that we got some sound for you. This is a clip of a guy who was on BBC, a trader. Now, it sounds to me almost like a guy who would be, yes, ma'am. Oh, wait, we got somebody. Michael, if you don't mind. Yeah, have a seat right over here. What's your name?
Okay. My name's Andrew.
Andrew, yeah, would you pick up the mic for me?
Pick up the mic here?
Yeah, here you go. There you go.
Got the sun shining down on me. Got some trees shading me a little bit.
So, Andrew, welcome to the Majority Report. We're broadcasting live online. And so tell me, how old are you?
I'm 26 years old.
26 years old. And you can just back up off the mic just a little bit right there. That's good. And how long have you been down here?
I live in Brooklyn, so I've been here every single day for 10 days. I've only spent 2 nights here, though.
2 nights? Well, that's only. I mean, there's not many people who spent 2 nights sleeping outside in New York City. So why did you come down here?
I came down here because I think humanity is living in quite an unnatural state of being. And there's oppression happening on all different levels, from the top companies repressing small businesses, which cultivate community and families and things like that, to individuals using oppressive language or oppressing each other based on the principles of social Darwinism.
And so how did you hear about it? I mean...
I heard about this from a friend on Facebook.
On Facebook. And so, you know, one of the things that... criticisms that's been leveled on what's going on here from the mainstream media, for the most part, is that there's no clear message. There's no specific demands. Give me your response to that.
In response to the criticism that we've got about not having a specific demand, I think that's in the own self-interest of the media, the mainstream media, and the selfish consumers that are listening to that, wanting something to be done for them. Now, if you want to know what the message is here, all you have to do is take a quick pass through this park, and you'll get about 10 pretty darn cohesive messages. And that's the job of a reporter. So it's almost like this snide sort of attitude towards us that it's our job to tell you how to report something. There's many beautiful messages here, but the ultimate message is that it's not a left-right issue, it's an up-down issue. There's people that are in positions of dominance, from economically to socially, and that are not addressing the interests of the public due to legislation, to the legality of being bound to the profits. And so there's nothing we can really do immediately to change that legislation to say that, you know, corporations are not bound to the shareholders. But what we can do is start a movement away from buying from the top companies, and stop spending so much of our money. Try to cut down our spending by not buying new products or products that are their prices are hiked up based on their brand. We'll have more money in our pocket. We'll be less dependent on our employers. We'll have the clout to demand better working conditions and less work hours, and we'll have more time to organize.
Interesting. And so tell me something, like, what were you doing before this? I mean, you've been down here every day. Were you working? Have you been out of work? Tell me your situation.
I often do wonder what my life was like before this movement. It's day 10. I have changed so much. I've learned so much about getting past my ego and things like that, learning what's really important, because ultimately, you know, it is about oppression. People are dying around the world due to, you know, the economic interests of other people, and it's time to make a change. So before this, I was I'm in the same line of things. I have a website called thehumanchannel.org, which is just getting started. So I do need some help, you know, getting it set up, producing the content on it, which is basically encouraging more balanced way of living. I think due to some religious constructs and capitalist constructs, we have a very unbalanced look at life, where life is exalted way over death, you know, as if they weren't a part of the same thing. You know, a lot of people are trying to win without losing. And so I wanted to create a balanced living, and I see a lot of imbalances in our lives. People, you know, exalting, you know, beauty over non-beauty, or good over bad, or trying to win without losing. And that's basically what I've been trying to do until this movement. And when this movement came around, I just had a place to bounce my ideas off people and the press and be challenged by interviewers like yourself and develop my argument and get better at speaking and really weed out anything in my mind that is ego-driven and realize that there's no point in that. You know?
And are you involved in any of the organizing, any of the committees and whatnot, or tell me about that experience?
Right. Our working groups need a lot of help. So if you're listening to this, come on down, help us out. We need to help synthesizing information, getting information out there. We need signage indicating what our principles are and how we're carrying those out. But I'm mainly working in the media department, editing videos about this, helping people upload videos about what's been happening.
How many people were here over the weekend?
Over this past weekend, it's hard to count. I mean, it's in the thousands, you know, in terms of counting people coming and going. But this is, like I said, this is the 10th day. I think they estimated on the first day, the 17th, there was, you know, thousands of people. And so it's been just, you know, different, you know, different numbers the different days. It depends day to day.
How long are you planning to stay here?
Like I said, I have a place in Brooklyn that I can go refresh, but as long as people are out here being creative and not repressing each other's ideas and supporting each other, I'll be here every day.
Great. Thanks for talking to us.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
All right, folks. And we've got another person lined up here. Matt, get on that. We don't need to. Here we go.
Would you like to speak on our looking for different people for our online radio broadcast?
All right, and we've got another person. Matt is diligently wrangling people. And hold on for 1 second, folks. Bear with us.
Sorry, guys.
That's all right.
Sorry.
No, no.
Can you guys hear me?
That's great. And what's your name?
It's Victoria Sobel.
Victoria, and I recognize you from some videos.
Yeah.
So, and you've been down here since day one, right? And just, if you could, just point the mic just a little bit. That's great.
Got it?
Yeah. So why are you down here?
You know, it's really been a very life-altering experience, but I heard about this whole occupation, the plan of it, mid-July. Secondhand, I had someone who was receiving the emails about it and kind of followed up with it throughout the summer. came to check on it on the first day to see what it was about, because I did have my apprehensions when I saw the ad buster call, 20,000 an occupation. However, what I saw was a very motivated group of people trying to initiate what we have in the works here today. So I always describe it as kind of a flip switching and an understanding that the participation was necessary.
And so what were you doing before you decided to come down here? I mean...
That's a good question. I am a student at the Cooper Union. It's my senior year. I have taken some classes off because I had some extra credits already kind of saved up at the school bank, I guess. But I took some classes off so that I can spend more time down here. It was summer, so it was the transition from summer to fall. I also work, and I'm affiliated with a couple of other nonprofits, and I work sometimes at other galleries. So I'm kind of taking a break from all of that. I live here now.
And so tell me, what is it that you personally hope that is achieved by this?
That I personally hope to achieve?
No, well, that you hope is achieved by this occupation.
I think there are a number of imperatives that I've been weighing in my head as far as what we can achieve and what the difference between that potential is and what the difference between having things actually achieved is. In my mind, it's really important to see this level of participation in a community that's like founded in a city, but also more of a national thing. I hope that we're able to help other occupations set up. This should really be a group of synchronous occupations that starts. It's kind of with that initiation that we can really start to begin to work within a system to achieve change. So we are ourselves a rather green occupation. We didn't have everything planned out. Everything is definitely a learning experience, and I've learned a ton, but I'm really hoping to help set that up as a network.
So in many respects, from your perspective, this is about building a process.
Yes.
And a process that is owned by people who have been previously disempowered.
Yes, definitely. And I think it's important to recognize, and people use the term radical a lot, and again, the word occupation. Right now we're kind of encamped in this space, but that's not to say that we can't move towards what could be an occupation of a space. And I'm not certain that what we're doing here is radical. I'm also not certain that it needs to be radical yet, but I think it's really important for, if we're going to be using words like that and words like solidarity and accountability, for us to really, as a group of people, as a body of people, understand the implications of those words historically. And we do have a lot of support from older radical communities and individuals, so that I have a little solace in that, but I want us to really be careful with our words so that people don't have a misconception of what's going on. We are moving in that direction, though.
And tell me, like, have you always been sort of engaged in these type of politics? I'm obviously you're fairly young. I mean, relative to myself and others, but has this been something that's always interested you? I mean, obviously, I think you heard about it in July, so obviously you're tied into networks.
Yeah.
Where you've been talking about things around this area.
And I think for me and for myself personally, this level of activism I've done in other spaces. Yes, you can. Sorry, just switching off to the computer here. This type of activism is not something that's particularly new to me. However, it is new to a lot of people in this group. And again, this is kind of working through an experience, so that a mass of people can take from that and then continue it on. It's something that isn't so common anymore, I think, and that's a general perception. And again, radical tactics were used earlier on, and we have, again, people showing support for us, but it's really important to start getting the word out about this. I know people from my school aren't really out here.
Uh-huh.
We don't really see too many NYU kids. I go to Cooper Union. I'm waiting to see more of them come out. But so it is. There is a very specific issue with age and activism.
Well, I hope more of them join you, and I appreciate you taking the time
Definitely,
to talk to us.
Definitely, no problem, guys.
All
Thanks.
Right, good luck, and keep up the good work. Oh, please, have a seat.
Hello again, Sam.
It's Robert Siegel. And Robert, we spoke, I interviewed you for Ring of Fire.
Yes, you did.
And you have to forgive me, it was a couple of days ago, and so if I repeat questions. Now, you used to work on Wall Street.
Yes,
right?
I did.
As an IT guy.
As an IT guy, both with a mercantile exchange and with an investment bank, later doing computer relocations. But yeah, I was working with traders.
And
charming people.
Yeah, well, you know, tell me about that, because there's actually, I got a piece of sound that I've got queued up that I'll be playing shortly. A guy on BBC America came on. Frankly, I'm not even sure this guy isn't one of the yes men. But he came on and basically said, I go to sleep at night dreaming of a recession because as a guy who has a hedge fund, I'm going to make money off that. And he really, the one thing that he did express quite well was this notion that we don't care about recession, depression, good economy, bad economy.
Nope.
Our job is just to look at how we can take the existing situation and exploit it for money, period. And it was a rare moment of truth. And you know, even if it was a yes man, tell me, is that is that accurate?
No, that's completely accurate. The moment of truth would have been less rare.
Just point that.
The moment of truth would have been less rare if you spent time crawling around under the desks of these guys, which is what I spent my time doing. No, they're pretty upfront. They, I didn't actually see the movie Wall Street until the two nights before coming to this park. Just coincidentally, it came as part of a DVD kit that I'd never opened. And I realized that although the movie purports to be disparaging of this behavior, purports to be.
Right.
It doesn't successfully achieve that, and these guys can quote all of Gordon Gekko's lines, and they love him. They aspire to that. They are really enthralled. What can you say? A compulsion to gamble is an interesting thing to observe anthropologically.
Yeah, it's interesting, and it's not necessarily bad if you have a government that's enforcing and making sure that this attitude, this complete lack of responsibility and accountability to the rest of society, this basically functioning as a shark. You know, a shark doesn't care if you're a fish or you're a human leg. It doesn't matter.
It's just a machine for achieving an end.
And hold on 1 second. There's Reverend Billy. Will you just will you ask Reverend Billy if we could talk to him? Just tell him it's Sam Cedar. So, Robert, you've been down here now. Let me count.
That's 11 ticks on that,
11
on that
ticks,
shirt.
The 11th day down here. Just give me your sense. What is the objective?
The objective is to create that mission statement. The objective is to answer that question. The central purpose of gathering in this horizontal unled assembly is to resolve and craft that mission statement, to articulate precisely what we want to accomplish, and then the means to accomplish that. Mm-hmm. This will take weeks.
So again, for you, this is about the process.
I have little wet dreams about the process, or I would if I could dream. I'm so exhausted I don't dream anymore.
I understand. Well, Robert, I really appreciate you joining us. And if folks can see another interview that we did that is online now, ringoffireradio.com has the video up, and I appreciate your time, buddy. And
very glad,
good luck.
Very glad to be back. And when I found out you were sitting here, I wasn't going to let you go by without saying hi again.
I appreciate it, Robert.
I enjoyed it.
All right, so we're going to have I just saw... Reverend Billy of the Stop Shopping. I haven't seen Reverend Billy in quite a while. Used to see him occasionally on the Majority Report, and we'll get him to sit down with us in just a moment. So there's more and more folks here. You know, we've been down here, I guess, only for about about 40 minutes or so, and more people. Here comes Reverend Billy. Reverend, happy to remember you, Sam Cedar. We had you on the Majority Report with Janine and I. Nice. Please sit.
Yeah, we can't.
We're on live right now.
Obviously.
Yeah, exactly. Here you go. Here's the microphone, Reverend Billy. Welcome back to the Majority Report.
Brother Sam, it's good to be here.
And just back off the mic just a little bit. We don't have the...
A little bit too explosive there, a little bit too much preaching.
That's right. Maybe I should dial this down. Reverend Billy, I'm glad to see you here. Is this your first day down here today?
This is my third visit. Amen. I'm out in Brooklyn with my 18-month-old baby and my beautiful wife and making a family.
I understand. That slows you down a little bit, doesn't it?
Well, we should be here camping out, except the police are dangerous. So, you know, we have to, you know, watch out.
I understand.
Don't expose the kid to the
18-month-old. So,
spray.
Now, this has got to be pretty exciting for you because you have been talking about these issues and doing it in a very bombastic and performance-based style for years. And this is, in many respects, right up your alley.
Well, I think that there are a number of New York-centric performance politicos, you know, Reclaim the Streets, Billionaires for Bush, Yes Men, women against ladies, ladies against men, there's just a Code Pink, you know, there's a bunch of us, and we're all contacting each other right now. We're just so delighted. We're so delighted at what's happening here in Liberty Square. Amen.
Now give me a sense of, you know, one of the corporate media has been by and large dismissive of what's going on down here. In fact, I saw a piece today. Apparently, the NPR ombudsman asked the newsroom why they haven't covered anything that's going on down here, short of instances where there has been police violence. And the news department, I think, gave three reasons. One was there was no one important here. There were no demands, and there was no sort of urgent violence or disruption. Give me your perspective on NPR saying something like that.
I think they have every reason to not report this. This is a beachhead of the First Amendment. This is the 45 words. This is the five freedoms: worship, speech, press, peaceable gathering, and protest. And this has been squelched and stuffed since 9/11, and it's been kept away. Any democratization has been kept away from the banking industry, some people would say for many years, but certainly since 9/11, officially. We've not been able to go out on the sidewalks and the streets and the parks of this city and say what we believe. You know, the Woody Guthrie song about going to a grassy place in Union Square and singing what you believe. Not been able to do that. Now, we're here. We're in the shadow of these 80-story tall investment banks. We've got Brown, Harris, and Halliburton right across the street here. We've got Chase right here. We've got Citigroup. We've got UBS. They see us in their windows. And they see a bunch of people who are starting their culture over again. We're feeding each other. We're cleaning up. We're taking care of each other. We found a way to announce what we believe to each other without the much-feared electronic bullhorn, amen, by, you know, the process of repeating what we say in increasing numbers of people, the human bullhorn. Now we're going to have a post office. We're live streaming to 200,000 people yesterday, amen, hallelujah. So this is a living community right in the shadow of these people who are waging war. They're attacking the earth. They've managed to keep 20% of the American population with 0.1% of the value of the country. I mean, they have every reason to keep us silenced. But I don't think they'll succeed, Brother Sam.
Well, Reverend Billy, I'm glad you're down here, and it was great to see you again. And wonderful to see you out here, and I'm sure it's got to, you know, the more I think people who are involved in this movement come down here, whether it's yourself, Michael Moore, Susan Sarandon, or students, or it'd be nice to get some cops out here to take their badge off, come down here after work maybe, and join people here. It's just, it raises the morale of people, and, you know, clearly... we were here Friday morning with hopes to broadcast, but it was raining, and there wasn't you know, a fraction of the people that are here now. It seems to be growing.
Well, now we have some good weather, but I think that this is spreading. I think that this is important for ordinary, everyday Americans in Iowa, Idaho, and Arizona. I think this is coming into people's lives.
All right, folks. Unfortunately, at this moment when we were down there, we lost power, and when we came back, our audio was significantly degraded. So some of you may want to stick with the interviews and get what you will. We have some videos up of this, but the sound is less than perfect. So apologies. We just didn't have a way of knowing during the broadcast that the sound was this bad. After we lost the power. So here it is, and enjoy it for what it was, but we're going to try and get back down there in the weeks to come.
That room, climate change with the big banks, and we told the judge, we want a necessity defense. We believe that civic life is so corrupt right now that we need to just go into bank lobbies and sing and preach and hand out information to the people who work at those banks. Stop the banking. Distract them. Interrupt them. There's no democratic process involved in the banks, and yet they're bigger than most governments. So, hallelujah, we just, you know, we're with these people. They're building a new faith in America. Amen? Thanks for having me, Brother Sam. Hallelujah.
And so that was great. Okay. And we had a little bit of an interruption with our broadcast. Hopefully people will be able to how you doing? What's your name?
My name is Jay Pilon.
Jay, now I notice you have the sort of international symbol for medic on your shirt.
Yeah, we have a medics committee down here. We're in charge of looking after people who get blisters, trench coat wounds. God forbid if they get pepper sprayed again, we have solutions for that. And also just general health. We've been passing out multivitamins all morning, and if people have headaches, anything, we're there to comfort.
And I heard, have you had any hypothermia? I've heard there's been some reports of hypothermia.
We had rain last Friday, and it wasn't good. We had a couple of people with hypothermia, but we took care of them. Since then, though, we've been getting a lot of donations of blankets and tarps. And so everyone's been pretty well cared for. And a lot of people are sleeping in groups, and so we have body heat to help as well.
Now do you have any medical training? I mean, how is it that you came to do this?
I actually joined on Saturday when I was in Union Square. I'm a student here, and I was reading, and I was getting some schoolwork done, and I saw the march. And so I came over, and I checked it out, and I was starting to walk back with people when I got fenced in by the police in a section, and I saw a woman get thrown to the ground, and I went to help her, and I decided to help out here. And I've been a lifeguard for 3 years, so I have my certifications in, like, CPR and first aid, and we had two medics arrested that day, too, and so I decided that I needed help, and this was the best way I could because I'm not tech savvy, and I don't know how to handle food, but I handle people well.
And so tell me, I mean, in terms of what the movement's about, I mean, was it simply just you got caught up in the moment, you were helping people out? Is there a broader political or social connection here? I mean, I'm just curious as to what's drawing people.
What's drawing me here, I feel, is that people see that there is something wrong with the way that the government is run. The way that there's, the 1% aren't taxing themselves. And unfortunately, the majority of the people in government is that 1%. And it would take a really selfless group of people to willingly tax themselves, and we're here for that. We're here against corporations. People see that there's something wrong with the country right now, and they just keep plugging in.
Well, that's great. I appreciate the work you're doing, and thanks for taking the time to talk to us.
Thank you.
So, Jeff Smith, a member of the Majority Report down here at Liberty Square. And thanks so much for joining us, Jeff. Welcome.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
It's great to finally meet you in person. It's been years we've been IMing with each other.
Sure, no problem.
Sorry, could you plug that back in? We're doing a live broadcast. We just lost power there. Something just got to plug. All right, we're back. Sorry about that, folks. It's getting a little bit crazy here. And see that? There's a fire taking photos of people So, Jeff, tell me why you're down here.
I'm down here because, I think I've felt to a certain degree what's been going on in this country and certainly in the city. And as someone who's worked in media and advertising in particular, the kind of monopoly that I've seen that go on in my business is really paralleled what's gone on in virtually every sector. And so it's come to the point now where you have corporate power and the corporate control of media. And this is kind of the only way left to get noticed.
Now, I don't know if you want to talk about this, but you've had a tough time of it since the financial crash, haven't you?
That's true. I lost regular work and have been kind of freelancing and patching together jobs here and there. And it's certainly one of the other things, obviously, when you work in advertising and other corporations are your clients, when they start pulling back money, one of the first things that they kind of shed is marketing and advertising. And when there's no business and no consumers, there's less of a need to advertise.
Well, there's a tremendous amount of uncertainty. They don't know if they're going to be paying another 2% in taxes down the road. So it's very difficult, apparently. No, of course, you know it as better as anybody. It's a lack of demand, and it's about an excess capacity in a small amount of people who control a huge amount of wealth in this country. And they're spending their money on, in these buildings around us, they're speculating, they're pushing paper, they're not, their economic activity is not creating any economic activity for the rest of the country.
I couldn't agree more. And really, it's not the first rally that I've been to. Certainly, there have been sporadic ones here and there. But this is the first thing that sort of feels like it's got a different kind of energy. And the crowd here is obviously much younger. And you see it almost any protest. And really, it's the longevity aspect of it, to me, that I saw as something that could actually turn into a real movement, and that when you have a protest, no matter how big, on one single day, the media can black it out and it just kind of disappears. And so by just staying here and having that perseverance, it almost becomes like a force unto itself that it becomes harder and harder to ignore. And as we're seeing here, increasingly media attention is starting to pick up a little bit. And we're starting to see the more liberal celebrities are starting to show up. Right before I sat down here, it occurred to me that once again, Sam Cedar got big-footed by Susan Sarandon in this case, walking through his shot. Even Matt was following Susan Sarandon on the camera.
Let me ask you, one of the criticism leveled at this protest, and one of the reasons, I was just mentioning NPR has said that one of the reasons why they haven't covered this is there's no list of demand. Give me your response.
Well, while it is true that it isn't as concrete as that, I'm not sure that that would, frankly, make much of a difference. I've seen, there was the tar sands pipeline, which had very, very specific demands, and 1,000 people arrested in front of the White House, and yet it was basically completely ignored. So I wouldn't say that that's the case. I think, honestly, as a just sort of beachhead or springboard for all the ills that we have in this country, because, again, it's systematic, the problems in this country. So any given issue is almost moot until we change the system. And I think this rally is as much about just fundamentally changing the system where money and an anti-democratic force, via that 1% with all the money, is able to just kind of control the politics.
That's one of the things that I've heard on a consistent basis from people we've talked to. I only talked to about four or five different people, but one of the things that we've heard on a consistent basis is that
it's as much about the process as it is about any specific demands at this point. Because I think one of the things that's clear, going around the country, is the sense that things are just simply not functioning the way they should be. In a democratic process, we have a system now that is dominated by the wealth, and there's a fundamental lack of democracy. And I think one of the things that's been articulated to me by just about everybody who sat down here is that there's a process problem, and it's a very slippery thing to protest the process, but. Certainly, I think it's more and more, we're seeing more and more of that. Give me a sense of how long you intend to be here.
Well, I've been basically coming down every day. I've spent a few nights here. Sometimes I go home and wash and come back. Don't quite have necessarily the...
You look very very fresh.
Okay, compared to these guys. It only takes a couple nights out here before you start, wishing for death to come. But mainly coming down here every morning, participating in the activities, going on the marches with them. Just it's been enjoyable to talk to young people, and also even the crowd of people that will gather up, the construction workers, you know, different cops, things like that will come up and get in conversation.
You know, there was a cop walking around here, she was taking pictures of people. Are you finding that that the construction workers, the cops that come in, that people from the outside who aren't necessarily involved in the protest are sympathetic?
I would say it's easily 99-1 of people that are absolutely on board. And that includes the blue shirt cops, for the most part, are very friendly, if not supporting specific, or not expressing specific support, certainly are very friendly with us and happy with us. Tourists, very much so. I mean, you see an older tourist, and they're like, yeah, right on. I'm glad you guys are doing it, sort of thing. And, you know, the odd person you'll see that'll immediately launch into his Fox News points, you kind of know where they're coming from. So those people aren't going to be swayed. But even, you know, the people in these buses that go by, these double-decker buses, the tourists, you know, are often kind of signaling encouragement and that they're kind of on our side. So it's definitely a positive experience to come down here, and I would encourage anyone that's in the area or has the opportunity. It's a welcoming crowd. It's not intimidating. People will let you come here and take it in and, you know, talk with you.
All right, one more point, too, because I think one of the things that fascinates people is what happens at night. I mean, you know, right now there's a food table. I mean, this is pretty impressive. I mean, I'm seeing some pretty good cherries over there, some good fruit. There seems to be more and more donations that are coming out. I see a big pack of candles over there. What happens at night?
Well, at night, I mean, first of all, I think there's more money coming in than we can even really use to buy food. The real issue now is whether we're going to be able to erect any kind of tents or tarps. As it stands now, people unroll carpets. They have cardboard boxes that they sleep on in their sleeping bags. But there's no real shelter from the elements right now. And so until there's some sort of injunction or some way that they're going to allow us legally to do that, it may be hard to press on into the winter when it starts getting cold.
You know, there's been reports that the cops have actually asked the owners of this. This is the Ducati Park, now renamed Liberty Square, is in a weird sort of hybrid public-private type of space. My understanding is that people in the background have been trying to figure out exactly what this place is. I'm not quite sure exactly its status, but there have been reports the cops basically asked the owners of this, which is a big, I think, real estate development company, to allow people to stay here. And it's not even clear that they could kick them out if they wanted to. But what do you make of it? I mean, is there a sense of, like, that it might be problematic to push people out of here, that at the very least... people are getting an opportunity to express themselves here. What accounts for that?
Well, it is a weird fusion. And from what I understand, the private element of it was just someone came in with some money and wanted to make it nicer and put their, you know, Mr. Zuccotti's name on it. That's the extent to which it went from public to private. But it has always been a public square. And it's open 24 hours, unlike some of the other parks in the city, so people can literally sleep here. And I don't think they can make it not public. So as long as the trees and the flowers are not being harmed, the owner, so to speak, of the park, which is really just the kind of sponsor, if you will, really has no grief against the people here. And so thus far, it's just been things like wearing masks and other kind of city ordinances that they've been trying to make this thing go away. And they have come in here and taken tarps down whenever they've been erected and things like that. But, I mean, as long as the weather's good, I don't see people leaving until literally it becomes wintertime and they can't survive out here. But I think that ultimately I can see tents going up here. And, you know, if they can press it in terms of the courts, I don't see why it wouldn't be legal to take those steps.
Well, Jeff, it was a special honor to meet you. Can I get your IM handle?
You can get my IM handle. Go ahead.
Ladies and gentlemen, longtime listeners of the Jordan Report will recognize this name instantly when I tell you that I have been talking live in person. Don't be a putz. Hey, even Matt. See Matt's
right?
It's like meeting a celebrity, ladies and gentlemen. Don't be a putz here in not being a putz in my being here in Liberty Square, downtown New York.
Thanks for having me on.
And so we're going to bring in some more people. With us in the group of the we're trying to now, you know, you can also stream live video. And I should say, folks, I should say that, in just a moment, people are going to be joining us. We've been broadcasting live from the former Zuccotti Park, now Liberty Square. And I have been live now for almost about an hour. If you have, we should probably just a little bit.
The Majority Report, it's an independent online.
Just joining us.
But it used to be on Air America, which is Garoppolo.
An hour or so. And we will replay immediately following when we end this broadcast, sometime in the next probably 45 minutes. We will immediately replay the portions of the show that we've been doing. Just joining us. We've been here live in Liberty Park for nearly an hour or so, and joining me now at the mic is Brad This. We've been talking, I should say, to a lot of folks here. Susan Sarandon is now in the park, right over my left shoulder, and she's being interviewed. Check it out on globalrevolution.org. Live streaming it. And what's your name?
My name is Chris Mack.
Chris, and tell me, what are you? That New York Film Academy.
I go to New York Film Academy.
And how many days have you been down here? Is this your first day?
I've been here 2 days. I came on Sunday and Wednesday, Tuesday.
Excuse me.
I came on Sunday afternoon around 5, and I helped with the food group. And I was here this morning setting up breakfast for everybody. Marched on Wall Street. We marched to the stock exchange. Yeah. So now today is Tuesday, so this is the third day.
And tell me, why are you here?
I'm here because I'm against big corporate interests and banks controlling the world. I'm 20 years old, originally from D.C. I live in Harlem, and I believe it's time for change. Not the change Barack Obama was talking about. We're talking about real change, because he's a part of the machine. The machine is run because it's the Federal Reserve that owns the government. Susan Sarandon is here. Michael Moore was here last night. I'm asking people, where is CNN? Where is Anderson Cooper? Where is Bill O'Reilly? Where is Pix 11, local New York news? Where is NBC local news? Where is Fox local news? They're not here. They were here before we processed it. I was up all night in the food pool because people were still eating and drinking. And I was up all night, and I saw NBC4 van and a Fox News van come here. When it came time for the protests, I believe they were still here. But when we protested and we came back, they were not here. There are power outlets in this park, and on the first day, they shut them down. They shut the power down because they do not want us to be here. They do not want you to get your message out. It's so important to get the message out. I called my father, I called my mother, and I am trying to convince them. I'm trying to convince people my age what's going on, and they're not listening. They think it's, oh, it's cute. It's a protest. These young kids are protesting. We are fighting for peaceful change. Nonviolence, as Martin Luther King said. We are fighting, and we say that fighting, but we're fighting peacefully with our words and with our actions.
And how long do you intend to stay out here?
I said in the march, all year, no fear, we are here. I will, if I have to be here for 10 years, I will be here for 10 years. This is not, this change like this, monument of change, trying to go all over the world because it affects the whole world, it doesn't happen overnight, man. It does not happen at all overnight. It's one step at a time, one person, groups together. Like the Margaret Mead quote, never doubt that a small group of people can really affect change. I'm paraphrasing, I believe. And I think it's so important that we congregate and get together because we can't let this happen.
Let me ask you, were you ever politically involved before this?
I recently marched with Troy Davis before he was executed. I'm a paid fundraiser, currently with grassroots campaigns, canvassing on behalf of the Planned Parenthood Federation of America. And I believe this is more important. I believe if we can change the world, then those rights, women's rights, will fall into place and we can unite. Because I care about men, women, children, everybody.
Listen, I really appreciate what you're doing out here.
What's your name, sir, again?
Samson.
Chris.
Chris.
It can't stop, and it won't stop.
Well, Chris, you know, a 20-year-old, you're our future.
Our voice needs to be heard. Everybody's listening. If you look around, there's people in the 60s, people giving us food. Young people. I saw kids here yesterday on Sunday or on Monday playing. Everybody's here dancing, playing drums. Can't stop. I don't know what to say to convince people. I have friends that don't want to come down. They say, what's that about? I say, Google it. And we have a website, OccupyWallStreet.org. OccupyWallStreet.org.
And we will put a link to that, obviously, on Majority.fm. And, you know, I appreciate you being out here.
Yeah.
And you obviously have been out here for a while.
Two, three days. Yeah, it's not a while. I mean, it's been going on for a minute. And I just opened my eyes because of the 90 people that got arrested on Saturday marching to Union Square. And I thought that was disgusting and brutal. But at the same time, I love the NYPD. We have a mic check.
Okay.
The people's mic is speaking.
Alright,
thank you so much. Thank you. Somehow, I'm gonna get there. I wasn't looking when I just got caught. Between the truth and the light bulb, but finding out won't make me feel any better. Yeah, I know the clock is ticking, but the meds are gonna kick in, and my pilot light's shining bright. I guess I'm where the choice is made. For the option where you don't get paid. For the road there. shifted in it.